Okay, good morning, Saints. I'd like to say it's a beautiful sunny day in Southern California, but we are fog, rain, sucked in, started about 10 o'clock last night, hasn't stopped, which is good for us here in Southern California. It has been a long, long dry drought for, I believe, 7 years, and so this is certainly good. I'm assuming everybody can hear me at this point in time. If you can, give me a thumbs up. Okay. I sent out a study to Tony, and I posted a picture. Let me try something else for the mic. Hang on a second. Sorry about the delays. My wife reminded me that if we're trying to do something that would be pleasing to the Lord, there's always going to be roadblocks. And maybe it's low because my voice is not carrying as well. I have spent the last 7 days with walking pneumonia and this virus that's going around. So I will again try to check to see. Yeah, I'm maxed out on my mic. Yep, maxed out on everything. So I'm sorry. Try to bear with me, and we'll go from here. So first off, thank you for your prayers. Some of you know I had surgery on my foot, injury that happened about 9 months ago, and they wanted to do some correction to the big toe. They said it was turf toe, and they ended up having to take bone chips out and such that were causing a lot of pain whenever I tried to walk or wear a pair of shoes, whatever. So probably would have been put running around here in California, but it just didn't seem to want to heal. And now it's doing better at least. I think some would, if they saw my foot, think that I am Bigfoot. I have this big green, black, and blue foot. But Kathleen's done a good job of taking care of me. I would ask that you pray for her, though, because I have given her the gift that keeps on giving, which is my virus. So she is down to the count right now. So please keep her in your prayers. And with that, let's go ahead and start with the word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you that you give us this opportunity to reach across the country and potentially have individuals who can hear and actually listen to understand that the knowledge of you is expanded in each of us, especially me, as I try to teach this lesson that I've learned, or this awareness that has come to me, that others might be aware as well. Your love, your kindness, your tender mercies, the comfort that you provide us, the ability for us, enabled by the Holy Spirit, to comfort others who need the same comfort that we've had. And Lord, we just praise you for the healing power that you have through your Son, Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, so sent Tony the verses, and there's a picture there, and I don't think he can post that, but picture in your mind a young child, male or female, doesn't matter, in his T-ball uniform. And with T-ball, as you know, they're ages from about 5 to 7, thereabouts. They put a ball on a tee. They stand back with their bat, they swing, and they hit, and frequently they miss. Frequently, if they make contact, it doesn't go very far. But then they stand there in awe that they actually made contact, and everybody in the stands screams, run, run. and they stand there with their feet moving but not going anywhere, and they are doing the best they can. They're listening to 10, 12, 15 people, maybe 100 people in the stands screaming at them, and they're paralyzed, don't know where to go. And so they sometimes run to the wrong base. I have them run to third base, and then the coach tells them to go to first base. So instead of, you know, trotting around the field, whatever, they come back to home and then try to go that way. And frequently they're tagged out by the time they get there. So unfortunate, but it is their lack of knowledge of the game. It is their lack of understanding of the rules. And it's the lack of not knowing the basics. And because they don't know the basics, they may never go on from there. And what's really interesting is that, you know, they sometimes, if for them, being told what to do and not being able to perform at the level that they would like to, being having parents who mean well, who are trying to help them, giving them direction, they finally say, you know what, this is fun. And if it's not fun, I don't want to do it. And we are developing a generation or more where everybody gets a participation award. Nobody stands for excellence. It doesn't matter if you win or lose. That's kind of like life to you. For those of you who have been successful or unsuccessful, does everybody get a participant award? Is this really socialism? Oh, that's right. Oh, we're getting closer to that every day. All right, so the point is, these young people, they don't listen to the voice of their coach. And sometimes, therefore, they get wrong information and they learn the basics wrong, and therefore they're never able to see what a great sport baseball is, or take any sport for that matter. Take any work for that matter. Now fast forward ahead, and you have these professionals out there, and they know their way. They know how to get to first base and beyond. They know how to swing the bat, catch the ball, throw the ball. They've had years and years and years of coaching. They are considered a mature player. As a mature player, do they stop learning? No. They're professionals. Professionals are good. They know why they're good. And they're always trying to get better. And therefore, as a team, many hands make light work. And as a team, they are capable of winning. If they always focus on themselves, success is elusive. To some, they might see some. But they don't see it at the highest levels. It's when they come together as a team. And we have such a narcissistic generation here, and maybe it started with us, but telling them how great they are, how great they are, how great they are, and we never let them fail, so that they never learn how to pick themselves back up and realize the little thing called humility. And as a result, they expect immediate gratification. So now take this example, and forgive me for developing that so long, but take that example and apply it to the Word of God. Apply it to an individual that has yet to grow up, that has yet to mature as a believer, and has yet to understand that it's something that they constantly have to learn at. And I think that Barney's study the last several weeks or months, has pointed to that. There's so much to know. There's so much knowledge there, and how do we apply that? So turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the world, of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." You know, some people never get past that. Some people never get past the fact that by grace are ye saved. They stop at salvation. They stop at first base, or they never get to first base. And so, As we think about ourselves and our knowledge, and have we gotten to a point where we're really comfortable with what we know and therefore, do we really need to go beyond that? And that's a question for all of us. And understand that if I ask questions, it's because those are the questions I'm asking myself. Those are the things that I have to really, in my mind, do I know what I believe, and do I really test what I believe? Can I communicate what I believe to somebody else? Because that's when you really know it. You know, they say that a teacher's knowledge grows twice as fast as the students that they're teaching, because they're studying to prepare and to be able to teach that other individual what they know. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. 2 Thessalonians 1, 2 says, "Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity, the love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in the churches of God for your patience," which is the word long-suffering, "and faith in all your persecutions, tribulations that ye endure." So as you think about growth, and as you think about maturity, you know, one of the great things that we have here as a group that reaches across the country is that we have this love towards each other. In some and in many cases, it abounds. It grows exceedingly because we know the faith that's in somebody else that has allowed them to endure the things they've endured. The things that we've endured may be because we saw somebody else endure it themselves, and because of that, we know that the Lord is faithful. And so there are many of you who every week we offer up prayers to, and just understand that while we're praying for you, we're also watching and witnessing how amazing it is that you persevere and how you go through these trials and tribulations, these ailments, these frail bodies that we have as they age, and how important it is for us to come alongside and build each other up. So let's go now to Ephesians chapter 2. And I spent some time in this verse at the last conference in terms of being united. And so this study kind of grows, no pun intended, but grows out of that as the next step. And so Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, quite a few verses here. "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building," note that word, we're going to come back to it, "fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." What I'd like to do now is to take a look at several of the words that are here, because there's either phrases or there are specific words that have more than one meaning that we today would not necessarily understand it the same way that they did. Probably not even understand it the same way the translators did 200 years ago, or more. But let's take the word building. It is the Greek word oikodome, and it is used architecture or a structure. It is a building, but it also has to do with edifying. In other words, building up. And so when we come together, are we building up? When we come together, are we coming to so that we are framed together, so that we fit together? And so the word "fitly framed together" then is, and I'm going to have a hard time pronouncing this, but sunarmologio. And I'll leave these up to Mike to pronounce later for me. but it means to be joined together, closely joined together. And it means to be fully organized or just brought together. And so even though we are across the country from each other in many cases, are we together? And it doesn't mean in the same building. It means that are we together in what we're trying to accomplish? And we'll get to that more when we talk about effectual working. The word grow or groweth has to do with just that, literal growing. It means to, you know, have an increase. It means to enlarge. And so think of it in terms of enlarging our knowledge or expanding our knowledge, going beyond the milk to the meat, and being able to handle the meat, because some people can't yet. And as Barney has pointed out, that, you know, not everybody is going to see. You know, there was a lot of Israel that did not see that Christ was the Messiah. It was beyond their comprehension. And part of that was because they blinded themselves and they had hardened their hearts. And many people do that today. They hear something, they believe it for a long period of time, they believe that's what the truth is, and then when challenged, they close their ears and eyes and say, no, couldn't possibly be that way. Well, the key is that we come together to build each other up, to edify and help each other come to the same knowledge. And so building together is suniokodelmi, and it means to construct. It means to compose, and it means to build together. And so I'm thinking of composing as an artist composes a painting, or as an artist composes a song. And they bring an entire orchestra in. And we have a son, some of you know, that's a musician. Go to vinylstation.com and you can download their songs. That was a commercial break, sorry. A unashamed commercial break. When he sings alone, you know, he has one sound. He's very good. But when he brings in a group of individuals and then sometimes goes out and brings even more individuals in, the sound even richer. And a lot of times we shut people out when, in fact, they could help us sound even better. So going on in Ephesians, let's take a look at Ephesians 4:1. And I'm going to read this quite a ways here, and then we're going to really tear this passage of Scripture apart as well so that you can better understand what I mean by this word growing up. So Ephesians 1:4-1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. How can you walk worthy of your vocation if you haven't learned your vocation? With all lowliness and meekness, how can you do it with pride? With long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And now that he ascended, what is it that descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the completion, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. So we have unity of the Spirit, now we have unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Don't be t-ball players. By the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive, that speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly framed together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body and the edifying of itself in love. I'm going to take about 10, 12 words and or phrases now and look at Greek here and see if we can not translate this better, but understand what was translated. So the word grow is the word that we looked at earlier, when you think of enlarging or increasing, I think of as a country, we started on the East Coast and we enlarged, we increased through Manifest Destiny across the continent. And in so doing, individuals walking out there in the wilderness by themselves really weren't very successful. They met a lot of hazards. And the same is true for us. Where two or three are gathered, it says, and where a three strand cord is stronger. And so growing sometimes works best in a group atmosphere where we have the ability to feed off each other and enlarge our brain capacity in intellectually, but also from a standpoint of maturity, knowing what we need to know. It's, for those of you who have children, it seems that the youngest frequently becomes the best at certain things like sports. So they've had the chance to watch their older brothers, and as a result, they've got that example, good or bad, of what to do or not to do. And as a result, they grow up faster. They mature faster. And for those of you who were brought up in this dispensation of knowing that right division is the only way to truly digest the meat that's there, how blessed you are, because you learn from individuals who are already mature. Fitly framed together, we've already talked about earlier, and I think the key for me here is that it's joined together, but it's close. If you take two Lincoln logs, they lock together. Two logos, they link together. They snap in place. If they don't snap in place, you don't have a good fit. And that's kind of the way we need to be. Compacted, I didn't even know they had compactors back then, but they obviously did. And so as we look at this word compacted, sum dibazo sounds like some type of Italian ice or something. but it means to drive together, to unite in association or affection, to show, to teach, to assure, to compact, to gather, to instruct, to knit together, to prove. And so I think of compaction as a forcing of things together, and I go back to the idea of a Lego. Sometimes you have to snap them down. They don't fit perfect, and you have to snap them down, and boy, are they tight. And that compaction is what keeps them together. And what keeps them together is not just the friction of force, but it's the affection, it's the love that we have for each other. That's what keeps us together in marriages. That's what keeps us together in any kind of a relationship. The word every here, when we talk about every part, has to mean not just every, but all, and the whole. And so the whole is the sum is greater than the total of the parts. It's synergy. And synergy is where 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2. 1 + 1 equals something far, far greater. or 2 times 2 doesn't equal 4. 2 times 2 equals, you know, 6 or 8 or 10 or 12, the true definition of synergy. And it's then, as we look at the word supply, every joint supply or supplieth, it has to do with some type of a contribution to the whole. And so when you go back to the fact that the Holy Spirit provided gifts unto men, and some were teachers and prophets, etc., and we say, well, the gifts have stopped. Well, spiritual gifts. However, when you think about, and I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. I am proof that antibiotics can kill all of your brain cells while they're also killing the virus cells. So, sorry, I'm going to go on to the next point. Measure. It's the word metron, and it means to mete out or to measure out, to look at a portion or a degree. And so when we're thinking about, the increase, it's every degree of increase. And a lot of times when we think about, growth, you know, we think about growth with a child, and you measure their change in height over time. And if you look at it from year to year, you know, you might see some gains of several inches. But if you were to measure it from a month-to-month basis, you may see no growth, or you may see just incremental growth, just this tiny hair of growth. And we, as our bodies mature, grow in increments. And sometimes spurts for kids. Our oldest son, Brendan, grew 9 inches 1 year. He went from an average-sized child to one of the tallest kids in the class, and he had excruciating leg pain because of it, because his bones were growing so fast to keep up with his body. So did his feet, by the way. The word every, we already talked about, it has to do with the word... in this case, abundantly, or in additional. And so it's not just one, it has to do with more. Part, the word part has to do with an allotment or a section, a piece, a division or a share. So when they parted the land for inheritance, they shared it. They gave a division to each of the 12 tribes. And so, you know, each of us has a portion or a part, given the roles, the gifts, based on our members. Makes increase. Makes increase has to do with just that, growing or increasing. You know, without growth, how stagnant we are. Sometimes there has to be movement to encourage growth. There has to be a stretch of muscles so that bones have the room to grow. And it's true in the body. It's true with ourselves to become mature believers. The word love there is the Greek word agape. Has to do with affection or benevolence. It has to do with the love that we have there. It is frequently used or defined as the word charity. You know, a lot of people think charity is when you give a gift to somebody else. Well, really, that's what love is, isn't it? When you give of yourself and expect nothing in return. And that's the hard part for someone. Some people, because they want something in return. And so we have many, many, many multi-billionaires that give because they want a tax write-off. They expect something in return. Effectual working. We've already talked about briefly, but But here, the word effectual working, the word effectual especially, has to do with the efficient operation. And it has to, it's the Greek word energia, which is where we get energy from. It's where we get the idea of something in motion, some type of, not just power, which is the word dunamis, but the fact that there is something moving, going towards a positive end result. That there is an effect of the work. That there is some type of strong effort put into the ability to go from one point to another. And so as you think about effectual working, as you think about the work that effectual in Webster's dictionary is effective at producing the desired result or effect, efficient, the power to cause or produce results, being operative, accomplishing a result. And so my first question to myself, which you may want to ask yourselves, is this ministry effectual? Is it accomplishing the desired result? Let's take a look now where effectual working is used a few more times, and I'm going to give you about four or five more references, and we'll try to close out. We started a little bit late, so forgive me, but I'll definitely be done before Ronnie is finished with his grits. So go to 2 Corinthians 1:3. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." Now think about the context here. It talks about suffering. It talks about comforting others and consolation. Consolation to those who are afflicted. And so Paul's saying that my consolation is your salvation. My consolation is the effectual working, the accomplishing of a result in each of you. And so regardless of what Paul went through, he was working towards an end result. Each of us, in our sufferings, as we endure, we are helping others to work through that same suffering, that same conflict, that same affliction. And so we are witnesses to all of us that surround us, and why it's important for each of us to help others understand. Don't suffer in silence, but let people know, you know, what they can pray for. Philemon 5:6 says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have a great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. By thee, brother. Brother. Brother in Christ. And so effectual here is the result that comes about, and in this case, the result is their good witness of Christ. And now I have to ask myself when I look in the mirror, am I a good witness of Christ? Am I a good witness of Christ? James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You've heard that before. You've read that before. Do you really understand what it means? he goes on to then describe what it means. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. In order for the people to listen to Elias, he had to show that he had this supernatural power to seal up the heavens, to get people to realize that, you know, without Christ in your life, you are going to suffer. Now, in this case, it wasn't Christ. Without God in your life, you are going to suffer. Christ is God, and for those of us who know who Christ is and the power that he has to impact our lives, we are much better for it. The word effectual here is energio, and it has to be with being active. Interesting. So fervently active, to be mighty, to show forth yourself, to show forth your work. James was all about, faith versus works. Show me your works, and I'll see your faith. The scribes were asking for the Lord to show miracles, show his works, so they could, believe in him, because they didn't. Well, he did show them this unbelief. And so, for us, as we look at, this energy, what energy are you putting into your study? What energy are you putting into, growing and increasing in the knowledge of God? And I'm going to end with Ephesians 3:1. Read several verses here for you. For this cause I call the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs in the same body, partakers of the promise of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. It's the result of his power unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I'm going to pause there to say that Paul saw himself as the least of the saints. I mean, maybe it was because of his past. Maybe it was because he persecuted others. Maybe it was because of some other infirmity that he had. But he did not see himself as the top of the class. He wasn't the sharpest tool in the drawer. And so, in that humility, the Lord was able to work him, and he was always amazed at how the Lord was working through him in spite of what he thought rather a humble person. A guy that was a Hebrew of Hebrews, he says, a Pharisee, on and on and on. I mean, that sounds like bragging to me. And he says, no, I count it all loss. It's just dung. Let's go on, verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. These tribulations help them be comforted, knowing that there was a better end result. The end result that Paul was looking for, that all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That was his purpose. For him, waking up every day, he put all of his energy, his effectual working, into making all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, to the point that he was willing to go to Rome, and he was willing to be killed for our consolation, that someone might come to knowledge of the knowledge that he had been given through the Holy Spirit, through revelation. And so, as we go forward, my time's ending here. I have 14 questions for you to think about asking yourself. Again, these questions are the ones that I have to ask myself. I mean, as I started looking at this word effectual work and better understanding how that tied into becoming a mature believer, you know, little kids put together Lincoln Logs and Legos, but it's mature adults that become architects and build buildings. And my question is, where's our skyscraper? My question is, I mean, I have to ask myself these things. Am I growing? Am I growing the way I should be growing, at the pace I should be growing? Is it incremental, or have I plateaued? And what am I going to do to change that? And some of you may or may not like your answers, because I got to tell you, I really didn't like mine. Second question, what's the process that you're going to use to grow? Is it right division? Because if you don't, you're going to fall prey to being tossed to and fro on every wind of doctrine. Third question, are you building? Building, what are you building? Next question, are you compacted? Are you snapped together and united with fellow believers? And what are you doing to encourage that relationship? Not with one or two, but with the entire organization, because every part has part of the effectual work. You know, you look at the intricacies of a watch, and you see the hands, and they tell time, but it's the hundreds of little gears beneath that that really make this thing function. And are you really focused on just the hands, or are you focused on everything else that makes this work? If you were on trial for being united, what would be the evidence? I mean, if being convicted of being united was a good thing, what would be the evidence? How have you shown that? And it's true in our marriages, it's true in every relationship, but it's especially true in the body of Christ. Next question. Are you being effectual? Are you effective? Do you have energy and enthusiasm when you wake up every day for the work that's ahead? Not for making a living, but for creating an opportunity for others to understand this incredible mystery that's been given to us by the grace of God. And if you are being effectual, who do you affect? Is the group that you fellowship with united, and are they effectual? Are they working towards a purpose, a result? Next question, what is the effect of being united and effective? What examples do we have of great success when we're united and effective? And I have to tell you, it's the conferences. The conferences bring us together, but it's an effectual working. It's an effectual opportunity where we can show energy and enthusiasm. We can show that we are compacted and fitly framed together. But when we leave that conference, does it stay there? Is every part united? Is the union using every part, or just doing it all by oneself, by yourself, by myself? Are we the rock that stands alone, for the island? Or are we reaching out to others who may have a piece of knowledge that would be an integral piece to something we're doing? Are we using others as sounding boards to ensure that what we write or what we say might in fact be perceived the right way versus the wrong way? And I have a tendency to be perceived the wrong way. and that's as much my fault as it is those that hear me, especially within the same household, so not speaking about any of you. Next question. Do you feel alone in your work or your ministry? And if so, why? What makes you alone? Is it you? Is it your remoteness? What can you do about that? Cell phone, texting, email. Oh, that's right. Those wireless services that are the wiles of the devil can actually be used for good things. Next verse. Was it God's purpose for you to work alone? Or was it to be working united? Next question. Do you see results or an increase? If not, maybe it's because you're using only two hands. When we put conferences together, there are many, many people involved. And sometimes it's just a matter of baking 4 dozen cookies, which I miss dramatically, and you know who makes those. Because that's the energy sometimes it takes to get through a conference, is something really to look forward to munch on as we fellowship with others. So thank you for that. Thank you for every person who contributes. And then the last question I have is, if building equals edifying, where is the edifying in love when it's all about you? When the conference becomes about one individual, when the ministry becomes about one individual, we stand alone. And it's lonely. And you look at some of these great men who had ministries that faltered. And a lot of times it faltered is because they had no sounding board. They had no accountability. And you look at these televangelists, which is, you know, what I'm thinking of, and I think to myself, you know, how foolish to say, look, God's going to let me live another 10 years if you give me $1 billion so I can build a taller building. He didn't get his $1 billion and he died. So maybe it was true. But I just think how absolutely ridiculous it is when you make the ministry about just one person when there's supposed to be this united effort working together, and in fact with many hands we can do much, much heavier work. We can have an effectual working. And if we don't help this next generation understand our word that we know to be true, where's the effect of our work? If the next generation doesn't get it, and they think different, they act different, and how are we reaching out to them to make sure that they understand the power that we have been entrusted with this mystery, with this wonderful tool called Right to Vision? And as we go forward, are we going to help them mature? Are we going to leave them babes? And who's going to do that work? Not going to be one individual. It's going to be all of us coming together to reach out and make sure we have a result, an effectual work of our time here that the Lord has given us. Let me close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your love, for your kindness, for your grace and your mercy. You are awesome. And Lord, I see that in my life every day, and I see that in the lives of others around me. How amazing it is for some of these people to survive what they've survived, to go through what they've gone through, and yet continue the work, and continue with their energy and enthusiasm. Help us unite, help bring us together even though we're remotely sparsed across this country, and help us be able to be good witnesses of you in all that we do. We praise you and exalt you in Christ Jesus' name.